I'll be. And then the priest realized how mean he'd been. And he began to apologize, saying, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be so rude. I didn't know you had arthritis. And the man said, I don't, Reverend. I was just reading here in this newspaper that the Pope does. Just like that priest, sometimes we make assumptions that are completely wrong. What's worse is that we can also make assumptions about God that are completely wrong. We try to squeeze the awesome creator of the universe into a box. We try to explain the power of God in a way that we can comprehend and handle with our feeble little finite minds. We think, oh, God won't use me to impact anyone's life. But get this, friends. In doing that, we put limits on what we will allow God to do in us. And more importantly, more seriously, we limit what God is allowed to do through us for other people. Did you get that? When you put God in a box, you limit Him to what He will do in you and what He will do through you for other people. This morning, we're going to see a group of people who knew Jesus very well, but they tried to stuff Him in their own box. Sorry about that. Kids Corner. You're dismissed for Kids Corner. Nope. It's either Kids Corner or box. Well, good. After the service for your birthday, I'll let you see what's in the box. Gets them every time. That's gonna chew him up all class. Put him down, Brett. There you go. It's all right. He's fine. Like I said before that, this morning we're going to see a group of people who tried to stuff Jesus into a box, their own box. But the problem was this, that Jesus' purpose, Jesus' ministry as the Messiah was way too big to be stuffed in a box dreamed up by the thoughts of mere man. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Friends, this morning, I want you to let Jesus out of the box you put Him in. I want you to view other people outside of the box you placed Him in. And most importantly this morning, I want you to burst out of the box that you placed Him in. I guess he was serious about bursting out of that box, wasn't he? The question is, how do I get out of the box? How do I get out of the box? First thing we need to realize as we look at the scriptures in Luke chapter 4 is we need to remember that we have the power to get out of our box. We have the power to get out of the box. In Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 14, we read that then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of Him went out through all the surrounding region, and He taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Now, if you were here last week, you remember that we found that Jesus, being filled with the Spirit, was after His baptism, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where He overcame every single temptation that the devil threw at Him. Now, today we find that it's about 1 year later, and we find that Jesus returns to His homeland in the power of the Spirit. in the power of God's Holy Spirit. Friends, all of his life, all of his ministry, Jesus was filled by the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit, and he ministered in the power of the Spirit of God. And friends, you and I, we here at Bethel are the body of Christ and individually members of it. The Apostle Paul wrote that in the scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That we are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Therefore, we have the same ability as Christ to be filled, to be led, and to be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. That's both a privilege and a responsibility. But I wanted you to see there in verse 15 what the first thing was that Jesus always did when he went into a new area. And he, say it with me, taught. He taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. But I wondered, what did he teach about? Filled with the power of the Spirit, what did Jesus preach about or teach about? Undoubtedly, in my mind, he attempted to teach people about how to become part of the kingdom of God. That was his greatest goal. He wanted to teach all the people that would ever hear him how to become part of the kingdom of God. And you know, I think that should be the mission statement of every Christian. That should be our mission statement. Teaching people how to become a more effective part of the kingdom of God. Now, there is enormous power available if you're willing to teach anyone. Enormous power available to you if you're willing to teach one-on-one. Enormous power available to you if you're willing to teach in a family setting. Enormous power available to you if you're willing to teach in a classroom or behind a pulpit. It matters not where you teach. The power is available to you. But you must be willing to get out of the box. You must be willing to get out of the box that you placed yourself in. You must be willing to get out of the box, out of your comfort zone, and surrender and be used by God. The question today for you is, are you willing to get out of your box? Now, getting out of our comfort zone, getting out of our box is a hard thing to do sometimes, isn't it? But here's the beauty of all that. You and I cannot do what the Lord has called us to do in our own strength. It is impossible. The mission at hand is far too big, far too great for us to accomplish in our own strength. But God promises this, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. How many things? All things. That's right. So can we accomplish the mission that God has set before us? Yes, we can, because we've got the power. We've got the strength of Christ to do all things. You see, the Christian life is not about what you do for Him. Do you know that? The Christian life ain't about what you do for Him. The Christian life is about what He does in us and what He does through us. Do you get that? And God promises to do that, to work in us and through us, if we will simply humble ourselves before Him, yield to His power to work through our lives. He says, I'll do it. I'll do that for you. I'll accomplish my mission through you if you'll just be willing. We will receive power to get out of the box. To get out of the box when we completely surrender to God and become willing to be used by him wherever he chooses. Now here lies the problem.
Oftentimes we say, I'm willing, God, use me. But then when he puts you in the place of his choosing, you say, well, I was just maybe not so serious about that. Maybe I'm not willing after all. God, I'm just going to get back in my box. You need to ask yourself that question this morning. Because as we plod forward this year as Bethel Baptist Church, as we trod forward in making a difference, making an impact in this little community we call Bethel, it ain't happening unless you're willing. It ain't happening unless you're willing to get out of your box. The question for you is, are you willing? For real, okay? Are you willing to do whatever he wants you to do, wherever he chooses to do it? Not only will we receive the power to get out of the box, but I think that we also must recognize that there is a purpose for getting out of the box. There's a purpose for getting out of the box. Verse 16, and so he, Jesus, came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogues, teaching again. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You may be asking yourself, Brother Bill, just why in the world would I want to get out of my cozy little box? I'm perfectly comfortable here. Why would I want out of my box? Before I answer that, I want to tell you that Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit of God for a purpose. There was a reason. Furthermore, we as the body of Christ are also empowered by the Holy Spirit of God for a purpose. There's a reason you're saved, and it's not to occupy a pew on Sunday morning. There's a purpose why you were saved. And just as Jesus was anointed for ministry, so we too are set apart for a ministry. What did the Holy Spirit set and empower Jesus to do? What did the Holy Spirit set us apart and empower us to do? You heard it. To preach the good news to the poor, to begin with. To preach the good news to the poor, to begin thinking of someone just a little bit less fortunate than you are for a change. I want you to raise your hand if you believe that the answer to this question is yes. Do you believe that there is someone in the Bethel community that is less fortunate than you are? Raise your hand if you believe that. Well, that's every one of you. Jesus brought the good news that forgiveness is offered to all people. To how many people? All people. He brought the good news that God wants a brand new relationship with us. But there was a problem. Sin stood in the way. There couldn't be a relationship with a most holy God when the people he wants to save are utterly unholy. You see, God's justice is absolutely perfect. It's absolutely perfect. And to allow our sin to go unpunished, well, that wouldn't be perfect justice now, would it? Somebody had to pay the price. Somebody had to pay the penalty. Somebody had to die. So he resolved our sin problem. And in order to reconcile us to himself, God offered his son as a sacrifice so that the consequences of our sin would be dealt with. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. And I want you to dog-ear the page. I want you to highlight this verse. I want you to circle it. I want you to memorize it. I want this to be your 2010 verse of the year. Romans chapter 6. And verse 23. Many of you may have already put this in your heart as a memory. But in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the Word of God says that the wages of sin is death. If you're in your sins, there's only one thing that's going to happen to you for all eternity, and that's death. But it goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's a penalty and there's a paid penalty. But it's a gift. Did you read it? It's a gift of God. Jesus came to preach the good news that eternal life with God is available even to those who are spiritually poor. Those that are hopelessly bankrupt. Hopelessly bankrupt because of their sin. They didn't have any power to save themselves. They got no hope for the future. And Jesus came for how many people? All people. Friends, who are the spiritually poor in the Bethel community? Are they just those that you're willing to be seen in public with? Are the spiritually poor in our community just your friends? Are the spiritually poor in our community the only the ones that look like and think like and act like us? Of course not. Come in all manner of colors and looks, and some of them don't act so good. Some of them are living pretty sinful lives. But Jesus came to save how many people? All people. There's everyone needs Jesus. Everyone who has no forgiveness for their sin is spiritually poor. And they need the good news that Jesus brings. This includes those people that hang out up at the line all the time. This includes those hard-nosed plant workers who live to drink and drink to live. It includes them. It includes those who have been invited to church time and time again and they refuse to come. They still need Jesus. Friends, this is the whole emphasis of GPS, God's plan for sharing. Because Paul said of believers that God has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and he's given us, say us. Us means me and you, by the way. He's given us this ministry of reconciliation. That makes me and you Christ's ambassadors. That makes me and you a useful instrument in the kingdom of God. For God wants to use us to speak to other people. Just like Christ himself was speaking to them. Pleading with them. Saying, please. Please be reconciled to God. I fear we don't have that passion. Both Jesus and the body of Christ are set apart and empowered to preach the good news to the poor, but also to heal the brokenhearted, to have compassion on those who are struggling with the brokenness of life. You see, compassion just ain't feeling bad if somebody's struggling. Compassion has got the guts to do something about it. OK? Can I get an amen? Amen. Now, healing a broken heart may take a long time. Healing a broken heart may take a while. But like Jesus, we as the body of Christ must remain compassionate for the long haul, as long as it takes to get them. Born again, do you have a compassion for the people in our community? God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But do we? Jesus and the body of Christ are also set apart and empowered to proclaim freedom for the captives. While on earth, Jesus released many people from the stronghold of Satan. Some of them were even demon-possessed. But more often than not, they were just people who had fallen under Satan's control. Why? Because they were practicing a sinful lifestyle. Friends, we all needed to be set free, didn't we? We all needed to be set free, and in dying for us, Christ Jesus proclaimed our freedom from sin. Do you feel free this morning? If you're born again, you ought to feel real free. Who are the prisoners in the Bethel area? Who are the prisoners who still need to be set free? And what are we doing to help set them free? What are you doing to help set free the captives? Jesus in the body of Christ has also been set apart and empowered to proclaim recovery of sight to the blind. Now you know that Jesus came and gave sight to the physically blind, but often he also came and gave spiritual sight to the spiritual blind, even in our community. You see, there are plenty of people within 5-mile radius of this church who still have the shutters down on their eyes. They still have the shutters down on their eyes, but Jesus came so that they could see the truth. Are you willing to show them the truth? So the question remains, how are we going to help them see God's truth? Now Jesus and the body of Christ has been set apart and also empowered to release those who are oppressed. This literally speaks of people who are suffering injustice. Literally speaking of people who are suffering oppression. Would you agree with me that the society we live in ain't so fair sometimes? Would you agree with me that sometimes this society that we live in ain't so kind sometimes? We live in a society that sometimes exploits and oppresses people. People now. But Jesus came to release those people. To release those people who've been wounded by the world and to offer them a better life. Do you want others to have a better life? Finally, Jesus and the body of Christ have been set apart and empowered to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I happen to think that it's 2010. Proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. He came to let us know that even though we rebelled, even though we turned our back, even though we offended God with our constant sinning, God still desires to act to save us. 2010 is a year when God will save me, when God will save you, and God will save anybody else who's willing to listen. But it's only going to happen if we will surrender, and if we will allow God to use us for His glory. Friends, there's probably no better description of what Jesus came to do and what Jesus calls us to do than verses 18 and 19. But there are two important facts that you need to know about these promises. One is, these promises are fulfilled in Jesus. Let's read verse 20. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.
So all bore witness to him and marveled at the words of grace which proceeded out of his mouth. And then they said, is this not Joseph's son? The words these people must have heard must have come as a shock. They'd known Jesus since he was a little boy. These hometown folks, they put Jesus in a box. And they put a label on that box that said, Carpenter's son. But Jesus proclaimed that he was the one who would bring God's plan for saving mankind to pass. And he'd do it in a way they couldn't fathom. And do you know that he continues that mission on through us?
But there's another fact you need to know about these promises. Because these promises are not just for church folks. You hear me? These promises are not just for church folks. Let's read verse 23 and on.
Then he said, you will surely say this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in our country. Then he said, assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I will tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout the land, but to none of them in Israel, but to none of them was Elijah sent, but except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And get this, there were many lepers who were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, but to none of them was cleansing received except Naaman the Syrian.
You see, these church folk, they heard about all the miracles that Jesus did in Capernaum.
And so they put him in a box. And they put a label on that box that said miracle worker. That's all he was to them, was a miracle worker. The church folk wouldn't accept Jesus for who he truly was, the Messiah come to save mankind. And so what happened? Our Lord reminded them of Elijah and Elisha who went on to the Gentiles. That's the non-church folk, okay? God sent Jesus to the non-church folk. And he does that today. But do you know what the real problem was with these Jews? With these church folks? They were proud and they couldn't admit it. They were ignorant and they didn't know it. And they were in bondage and they couldn't see it. That's the same three problems that lost sinners have in our community. They're proud and they won't admit it. They're ignorant about Jesus and don't know it. And they're in bondage and couldn't even see it. They were in bondage and these folks put Jesus in a box. And they labeled that box for Jews only. Is Jesus just for the church folks?
But then we saw that Jesus burst out of that box. And as Paul declared, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. But friends, do we ever get so focused on the box that we label for us only? Do we ever get so focused on that box labeled us that we neglect other folks that Jesus came to save? I fear we do. Like Jesus, we can get out of the box by remembering that there's power available to get out of the box, by remembering that there's a purpose for getting out of the box. But finally, we got to realize that there is a price. This is the bad part. There is a price for getting out of the box. Let's read verse 28 and we'll be done. So all those in the synagogue, when they had heard these sayings, were filled with wrath. And they rose up to thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. Friends, don't be surprised if people, especially those who are closest to you, don't understand or accept your desire to get out of the box. They didn't understand Jesus either. But so many times, people who know your background, people who know your past, people who know all about your failures, people who know what kind of person you used to be, they can't get past it. They can't see the new person you've become. So you may find that some people will get angry when you try to get out of your box. And they may not try to kill you physically like they did Jesus, but they may try a character assassination. Amen? They may remind you, they may remind other people behind your back that you were the wild one that used to party all the time. They may remind you and they may remind other people that you were that snobbish cheerleader in school. They may remind you and other people that you're the biggest hypocrite alive. They may remind you and they may remind other people that you were one of those people who cheated others in business. But friends, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things. How many things? All things have become new. And you're the living proof of that. Can you see that more often than not, it's us, not God, who hinders people from coming to Christ? So often it's us, not God, who keeps other people from coming to Christ. Friends, it's difficult to do what I'm asking you to do today. Everybody thinks, well, I'm right. Amen. I'm right. So letting Jesus out of the box you have him in ain't going to be easy. Taking other people out of the box that you placed them in, it ain't going to be easy. Getting yourself out of the box you put yourself in, it's not going to be easy. But that's what you must do. It's what you must do to be the person God wants you to be. You got to get out of the box and allow yourself to be used by the one who designed you and made you. Are you willing to get out of the box? Now you've listened to the message, but have you heard? What size box has Bethel Baptist Church constructed for Jesus? Is it a big box? Do you understand that the purpose for which Jesus Christ came was to radically transform lives? How many lives? All lives. And if every single part of the body of Christ is not serving that purpose, then we are placing restrictions on what Jesus will do in our community. The box we make will never be big enough to contain the plans and purposes that God has for His Son and His people. You can't build it big enough, okay? So you might as well just rip on out of it, burst it to shreds. You ain't got no use for a box no more. In order to let Jesus fulfill what He wants to do in your life in the way He wants to, we got to let Him out of the box. We got to get out of the box, and we got to stop viewing other people inside of a box. He wants to challenge you. He wants to change you. He wants to reach those who we've never reached before. And He wants to use you as only He can use you. But here's the kicker. Before you do that,
you got to belong to Him. Before you're used effectively by God, you've got to belong to Jesus. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. That don't sound so good to me. But let me give you a praise. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. A choice is set before you this morning. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. But it's a gift of God, and you can accept it. I want to encourage you this morning that the Lord is speaking to you about belonging to Jesus and becoming an effective part of the kingdom of God. To step out, just step up. Allow me to show you what God's Word says about how you can be gloriously and miraculously saved by the grace of God. Today's your day. Let us pray. Father in heaven, forgive us for the boxes we construct. Forgive us, Lord, for trying to contain all the awesome things you want to do in our community. Forgive us, Lord, for placing others in a box based upon our own prejudices, our own limited vision. Lord, forgive us for that. And yet, Lord, greater still, help us to realize that we are set apart and empowered to get out of the box. Not for our glory, not for our accomplishments, but for your glory and your glory alone. Father, if there's a decision to be made today, Lord, I pray that still soft whisper you offer would ring true in the hearts of these people today. Help us get out of the box. Help us to serve you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Help us to make an impact on our community for the cause of Christ and in the glory of God. And all God's people said, amen.
Let's all stand.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
about whatever box you've constructed, either for your Lord, for other people, or for yourself, and that you would strive, that you would desire, and be willing to get out of that box. Great and mighty things await you right here in the rural community of Bethel Baptist Church. It's amazing. God has placed us all here for a very specific purpose. And we're going to make a difference. Not in our own strength, but in the power of God. I pray you've been blessed this morning. I pray that you'll come back tonight. What is the name of tonight's sermon? Do you remember?
You're asking me.
Forgot the title. Anyway, whatever it is, it's going to be good. Amen. I invite you to come back tonight. And I pray that in Jesus' name you'll be saved, that you will come back. You can come back and get the rest of your blessing, as Brother Hal always says. Amen. Anything I'm forgetting? All right.